Okay, Rabosai. We're up to Simen Shin Memches. Again, all of what we're skipping, except maybe one Simen, are really things that are not lamaisa and are, not even very long if you want to make them on your own. Shin Memches, it's not all lamaisa, but din sreifa lamesh v'ha'omer al tikkuruni mi'nechasai. There is an ancient minhag. They don't do this anymore. They would burn for malachim and nesiim, their furniture and utensils, as a sign of kavod, that like no one else should use them, right? Just like we know no one should use utensils for melech, etc. But you're not allowed to do that for hedyot. Why are you not allowed to do that for hedyot? The main purpose here is not darchi emor. Don't think it's a superstitious, idolatrous ritual. No, it's just kavod. But why is a yachid not allowed to do that? Two reasons, says the shtach. First is yura. It's arrogance to act like a king. And B is hashkas, it's baltashkas, to destroy things for no reason. Okay, beis ha'omer al tikburu minachosav ein shomul. Someone who says, don't spend my money burying me, and then dies. Don't spend my money burying me. And then dies. Well, someone's going to bury him. So he says, don't spend my money. But that means we're going to have to spend tzedakah money, tzibur money. So he has no right to do that. Ain shomen lo. We don't listen to him. As the shach says, why should he be able to like give his money to his kids and then have the tzibur pay? Elamotzim yorshav, his kids have failed. Sorry, for Russell about Parcham. Against the world, they failed. And he's a cool king. Kamash or gimlas lushfachto. And everything necessary for people in his family, they have to pay for. Vafilu, meaning everything nahod, according to the standards of his family. In his social circle, Vafilo, Evan Shinos and Alakever, even the what we call the gravestone, the Matseva, that is if they inherited, meaning the estate has to pay for all the cost of Tura. He cannot refuse to pay for his own burial costs. There's a big discussion in the Achronim here, if you look in the Gilui Marsha and others, that many Achronim are more machber than the Chaber, and say even if they didn't inherit money, they have to pay. Why? Because we collect tzedakah to bury people who die with no money, and we know in tzedakah you have to give your relatives first. Okay, but usually it doesn't come up from Isa, but you should know that a lot of Achronim here, if you look in the Gilui Marsha, he has an essay here. If you look at Beis Hillel and the Beis Lechem Yehuda, all in the small print, they all say that really even the relatives have to pay. We didn't tzedakah. The mechaber is not saying we didn't tzedakah. We didn't that it's his money that they inherited. Even if they didn't inherit any money, even if he died penniless, Lamaisa, we still make them pay for Bidin Sadaka if we can. We're not getting into the details. Gimel, this most all of the likes apart. Afilu Misha Ein Lo Mamon Shetziv Yomer Al Tik Baruchu. Forget about the issue of money. What if someone just said, I don't want to be buried? This is, of course, Maisim B'chol Yom, right? That not in our circles. I never heard of a, young Israel Balabas who said, when I die, don't bury me, in the Jewish cemetery instead, whatever it may be. But obviously in the non-Orthodox world, this is very, very common that people don't want to be buried for whatever reason. They want to be cremated. That's the most normal thing that people do in the secular world. And then, as you know, in our secular world nowadays, everyone does, whatever feels right to them, and the more creative, the better. So people have all kinds of ideas. So is that okay? So the Gemara is a suffix. If someone doesn't want to be buried, is that okay or not? The Gemara says it's totally on a hakira. The Gemara makes a hakira. Why do we bury Mason? What are the two sides of the Gemara's hakira? The Zion or Kapara. One opinion is that burial helps get Kapara, in which case everyone has the right to not get Kapara. The guy says, I don't want Kapara, then he doesn't want Kapara. That's his problem in the next world. Or if it's because of Bizayon, then we don't listen to him. Why? Because he might or might not have the right to Mbaza himself. He certainly doesn't have the right to Mbaza his family, etc. Here's where it may be a little similar to the base behind. But here, where it says, Kur Bizayon, Lemaisa, there's no clear resolution. The Ramban and the Poskim, Paskim, the Chumra, that Kavur is Bishon Bizayon. Therefore, the guy has no right to say, don't bury him. We have to bury him anyway. And that's what he says, Ein Shomin Lo. We do not listen to him. Now, here is a Chiddush. The Gemara doesn't say, Bizayon of who? The Gemara doesn't say Bizayon of who, but the Rishonim and the Tor and Ishach, the Shach is Marames to this, you know, Bekitzer and Sukkot and Bav, says the Tor, quoting the Ramban, others, says, who's the Bizayon of? You might say the Bizayon of the Mishpacha if their relative's not buried. In which case, what if he has no Mishpacha? Then we would listen to him. Says the Ramban and the Torah and others, no. It's Bizayon of Kul Hu Chai. It's Bizayon of the whole human race. It's Bizayon of everyone. To not bury a mace is Bizayon of all human beings. And therefore, even if the guy doesn't want to be buried, even if his family doesn't want him to be buried, we don't listen. Right? The guy said, you know, let's say it was up to me. The guy said, I don't want to be buried. And all his relatives says they don't want to bury him. If I was the king of the world, I would say, I don't care, because the Bizayon for all of us, and therefore we bury anyway. Okay, so that is an important halacha. You should know that this is a big issue in most, not so much in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz, it's becoming more and more and more standard among non-from Jews that they don't want to be buried, that they want to be cremated. In Eretz Yisrael, not so much. It's a very radical, you know, fringe of a handful of people. But in America, this is considered very, very extreme. One of the jobs of a rabbi is to try to convince people to give a proper burial, to give kavod to their loved ones, and even if they don't want it, you know, kavod to all of Am Yisrael. Where was the Gemara about the about this chakira? Mm-hmm. In Sanhedrin daf mem vav amud beis, says the Baruch Olam. Anyway, lemaisa, it's a big avoda. Rabbi should always try to make a very, very, very strong effort to somehow convince the family to bury their departed in a Jewish cemetery. It's a big, big mitzvah. Okay, for kavod ameis and for, you know, for kavod of regardless of what the meis thinks, you know, for kavod of all of us.
Why Jewish cemetery?
What? Why not any cemetery? Because we'll see later that it's also big Bizayon of Mace to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. Okay, nowadays it gets very tricky because in non-Orthodox circles, half the family is going, half the family is Jews, so it gets trickier. But L'chora, you know, forgetting about that, it's still better to be buried than not to be buried, no matter where you're buried. Okay, Shin Mem Tes. Mace bein ovkachon bein Yisrael tachrichav asurin bahana'a. Right, sort of it goes without saying that a mace is asur bahana'a. That's learned, that's a drasha, assume that's a daraisa. It says about Thomas Sham Miriam and Yaver Sham, we learned Sham Sham from Eglah Rufa, Zirashava, that a mace asur bahana'a, whether a Gentile or a Jew, not only is the mace asur bahana'a, but even the tachrichav asur bahana'a. Even the shrouds that you bury the mace in, since they're buttled or to the mace, they're also right? The famous Akhlok Zavayim Rava. In the applications are in Kolotar Kula. If there's something that's usser, doesn't have to be an usser, no, there are various kinds of usurim. And let's say you mazmin it, you set it aside. Even you do a mice of like preparing it in, you know, in the workshop, you set it aside for certain use, but you don't actually use it yet. Does that give it the halachic isser or not? Is hazmana milsa or is hazmana lav milsa? The most famous case that most people encounter is right in the beginning of Orach Chaim. If I make a tefillin bag or, you know, some other tashmishei kedusha, you know, and I manufacture it to be a tefillin bag, you know, even I have in mind who's going to put their tefillin in it. You know, and I set it aside, but I don't actually use it. Does that make it kadosh and usher in secular shemush or not? So we paskin as mana lav milsa. In almost called tarkula, we paskin as mana lav milsa. And that's exactly what we paskin here, only if you do hasmana and you use it. But if you just do hasmana, I say these are tachrichen for a mace, but I don't actually put them on the mace. then there's no Isser Hanal whatsoever. If I want, I could use them for any other purpose. I can't think of a very useful purpose right now, but theoretically for any other purpose that I would desire. And likewise, hasmana without usage does not make an Isra Hanal. Likewise, usage without hasmana doesn't make an Isra Hanal. Let's say someone puts something on the mace, but it wasn't set aside for that purpose. They just like sort of temporarily put it on the mace, but it wasn't set aside for that purpose. That also doesn't make it Isra Hanal, only if it's set aside and used. Although Poskim in Orachayim point out that if you put it on the mace intending to bury it with the mace, then that counts as setting it aside and using it as hasmana and the scene, and then it would be asurana, right? But if you only did hasmana and it never touched the mace, or if it touched the mace but you didn't ever have in mind that you would bury it with the mace, then that's lav milsa and it's not asurana. Okay, one thing that is a little controversial here is the status of Mace Akum, right? This came many, many years ago. We learned about the comic in Tosos there that the Achronim quote. Is it really true that a Mace Akum is Asur B'Hanah? That is, the Beis Yosef does not give it a lot of attention. He just says, oh, the Rashi says even Mace Akum is Asur B'Hanah. And many we've shown him hope that a Mace Akum is Asur B'Hanah, and that's the Shita of the Machabe here. But it is not so Pashut. It is not so poshut whatsoever. The gra here, you see, there's a very, very long gra of Katan Aleph where he goes through again and again. He brings from many, many Rishonim that a Mace Akum might be Mutter Hanah. Maybe the Gzira Shava of Shom Eglar Rufa is only about a Jew, about Thomas Shom Miriam. And therefore, maybe the Gzira Shava only applies to Jews and not to Goyim. And then if he goes to the Rashba, I know it's against the Rashba, but he also quoted, and he quotes from Tosfos, and then there's many, many, many shitas. There's each of the Rishonim quotes, there's debate as to exactly what they meant. Maybe they only meant one weird case and not a normal case of a guy. But Lemaisa the Gra thinks that a Mace Akum's Mutarana, based on Tosfos and the Rashba. Although again, the Achronim go to town here. If you're interested, you can find them as to, you know, whether these Rishonim are mocher or not. In the Kudus HaKesef here, the Shach, he also says, the first Kudus HaKesef says, the Beis Yosef quoted, meaning Bedek HaBayis from Chumash Rashba. Bedek HaBayis, he means the, not the Bedek HaBayis and the Torah HaBayis. He means the Beis Yosef when he went later and added, it's like a funny font to the new ones, to the Beis Yosef, it's called Bedek HaBayis. And he says, but look in Tosos, who sounds like it is Mutter, and then he can make a mission to the Ramban. He makes a diok, so it's not such a clear achra, but he also seems to lean towards saying that maybe a mace akum is mutrabana. What is the achra lemaisa? If you look at the first piskei tshuva here, he says, "I am betshuvas even shoham siman lamed shehela the mace yisrael osrabana mina torah but mace akum osr midrabanan." That a mace yisrael, that's midoraisa, and taka, there's no isidoraisa, isra no doraisa mace akum, but that doesn't mean mutter. Really, if you look at a lot of those Rishonim, you can really only prove there's no Issur D'oraisa. But really, there's still an Issur D'rabbanan. And more or less, that is the Hachra. What does that mean? What that means is that we assume halacha l'maisa, there's an Issur Hanah, bein b'meis Yisrael, bein b'meis Akum. However, Meis Akum is less chamer, and therefore there's more room to be nekel in certain cases, because it's a machlokes, and maybe only drabanan. So lechatchila, we have an isra hanah on all mesim. However, there's more room to be making mes akum. An example of that would be his example. What about for some sort of refua that's not pikuach nefesh? You needed to use a piece of a mace for hanah for refua. So he said, but it's not pikuach nefesh, just regular cholish imbo sakana. Says we can be makel to use a mace akum, but not a mace yisrael, because it's an isra only isra rabbanan, and isra not rabbanan, not only isra rabbanan, much close to sakana. But generally, isra hanah mid rabbanan, to be nana from them, we assume is mutter for an kolish imbo sakana. So that would be a hachra. Another hachra would be, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, I'll come back to this, or maybe I'll mention it now. The question of medical school. What about anatomy lab in medical school? Right? So is that hana from a mace? So Shlomo Zalman said he was, it was not 100% clear if that's considered hana or not. Because what's the hana? You're like seeing what the mace looks like. It's not really classic hana. Just like looking at something is not normally considered an Isser Hana. So he's not sure if it's considered Hana, and therefore he's Machria, that once you be Machra for a Mace Yisrael, Mekel for a Mace Akum, based on the same idea that maybe Mace Yisrael is Avada Yisra Raisa, Mace Akum is maybe Nisra Bana, maybe we're not sure. And therefore, he said that in anatomy lab, you should use a mace akum and not a mace Yisrael. Once upon a time, that was the minhag of the medical schools in Israel. I believe that they only use mace akum for anatomy lab, for medical school. I don't know what their minhag is nowadays. I don't know what their minhag is nowadays. But those are some nafkaminos, mace akum and mace Yisrael. But again, lechatchila, normal circumstances, where machra, like the mechaber says, you know, mace bein akum bein Yisrael, the only kulas are in, you know, are in Shas HaTzorech, Makom Choli, and Refuah, and things like that.
Is there an issue about Zion?
Aha. So, okay, let's get onto a little tangent for a second. As you know, there is a big, big, big debate about what we call autopsies / anatomy lab, etc., right? Can you dissect a mace either for the purpose of learning in medical school, learning refuah, or maybe for the purpose of analyzing why this particular mace died, so that you can like figure out how to cure that particular disease. Right? I mean, there are two medical reasons to do autopsies. I'm not talking about the police now. Either just routine anatomy lab in medical school, you have to learn what a body looks like, and you can't cut open live people, so your only option is dead people. Although nowadays, they have more creative options sometimes. Some places you can go to medical school without cadavers, because you can have fake ones, or you can have 3D, you know, images, whatever. What? I'm not sure. I would just say technology. And the other is they do autopsies when there's some medical issue that they want to check to make sure, like, if there's any necessary information when someone dies in a strange way. Is there an Isser in autopsies? There are two main Isserim involved in autopsies, and the Sif we just read is the smaller of them. I don't mean smaller Isser, I mean like more Shitas say that it doesn't apply. So one possible Shas is Isser Hanoah. That is a big Machlokas. You know, if you just want some Shitas, I mean, you have to take my word for it, or you can look. There's an essay in Gisra Chaim. There's an essay every place. I'm sure you could just Google it and find, you know, an article by Rabbi Jachter or in the RJJ Journal or something. But just Bekitzer Nimras. What are the two issues? One issue is the Isser Hana. The Chsam Sofer said it's ushered to autopsies because of Isser Hana from the mace, because you're learning from the mace. And I have two other poskim who said that. The Maram Shek and the Chalkas Yaakov. Said that it's usher because you're not allowed to be nana from a mace. However, most of the poskim who discussed this did not mention Isra Hana from the mace. Why is that? Because most achronim say that's not called hana. Because you're not benefiting, it's just intellectual hana, right? What's the hana? It's intellectual hana. Most poskim said intellectual hana is not hana. For example, I'm not going to mention all the names, but Shutmach Nechayim, Shutpors Yosef, and okay, most famous, the Hartzvi, Rabbi Pesach Frank, Rabbi Yerushalayim. He said that's not called Hana. Hana is you like get some physical benefit out of it, but that's not called Hana. And this is what? The Hartzvi, Rabbi Pesach Frank. Okay, so Hartzvi. And I think Rove Poskin say It's not called Hana'ah. Said Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's in the Mincha Shlomo, but I didn't write the Siman, I apologize. He said this is very controversial. I mean, we could go into it for an hour, but we won't now. This is an issue of number one, the sugya of Kol Marif or Reyach, Ein V'hem Yishom Be'iwa, just looking at something. Is looking at something Hana or is it not? And two, there's a Girsa and the Riff at the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, maybe even something that's not Hana is considered Hana if you handle the item in order to do it, right? There's a Girsa and the Riff that says, Mitzvah Slavli Hanus, the new hearing a shofar is not Hana, but picking up a shofar and blowing it and hearing it is Hana, because when I have to do something with it, then I'm using it. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman discusses all these sugyas, and he says maybe it's called hana because maybe looking is hana, or maybe because when you have to touch something and then look at it, that's called hana because you're using it for your purposes. Lemaisa, that's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman says. He makes a hachra. The Mincha Shlomo makes a hachra. Echria lehakel. That makes akum because he's in the sopik about this. But again, I think most of the achronim are really making that it's not hana, or even if it is, it's not a real isra hana. It's only a very light isra brabana. Doma lahana, and therefore there's room to make a matzorech. That's not the main problem with autopsies. The main problem with autopsies is nivol hames. You are desecrating the mace by chopping him up. And the it seems from Chulin Daf Yud Aleph that nivol hames is an isra daraisa, because the Gemara says, if you don't hold a vrov, how do you ever know if someone was murdered or if they were dying anyway? Say, why don't you just do an autopsy and check? They said, oh, because you can't do nivol hames. And then that proves there's a rule of rov midaraisa. So that shakvatari implies that there's an issue of nivol hames midaraisa. Right, because they want to prove, since you can't do an autopsy, it must be rely on rov. Anyway, chulin daf yad aleph implies nivol hames is daraisa. It's generally assumed that nivol hames is an issue daraisa. If nivol hames and issur daraisa, then and the example of the Gemara of nivol hames and chulin daf yud aleph is doing an autopsy, cutting him open to check how healthy he was, what his body looks like. That sounds like exactly this case, right? So that should be an issur daraisa of nivol hames. So if you want to say they do an autopsy to catch a murderer or something, okay, maybe say it's pikuach nefesh, etc. The question, the big machlokas. Is the Isser Nivel Hames, which seems to be much clearer here, might not be Hana to just learn medicine, but it's clearly Nivel. Is the Isser Nivel Hames applicable here? It should be. What's the Tzad Lahakel? The main Tzad Lahakel is there's a Shut Mach Nechayim who says it's Mutter for Pikuach Nefesh. Mutter for Pikuach Nefesh. After all, we're not doing this Stam. Everyone agrees for fun, you can't chop up a cadaver and do an autopsy. But here we're doing it for pikuach nefesh. There'll be doctors. And doctors will be able to save people's lives. And if they didn't have an anatomy lab, they couldn't save people's lives. Or if someone dies of a disease, you know, I'm sure the first people died of COVID, they did an autopsy. They have to try to figure out the disease so they can save other people. So that is the Shut Machne Chayim says it's mutter mishum pikuach nefesh. Obviously, pikuach nefesh would solve the problem, Mr. Anna, also. However, there are two other sheets about this. So give me a second. There's a Binyan Sion who is very radical on the other side. The Binyan Sion, that's Rabbi Yaakov Eplinger. He's the Aruch Lener. I don't know if anyone ever learned Aruch Lener. What? There's certain sectors you have to learn Aruch Lener. Anyway, the Binyan Sion, he says that Aser Linavel Hames Afilu Bimakom Pikuach Nefesh. That's a big chumrah. Why? Isn't every Iser mutter for Pikuach Nefesh? So he's a big chumrah. He says every Iser, I mean, I'm not talking about the big three. Bein Adam La Mako is mutter for Pikuach Nefesh. But Bein Adam La Chadeira was not mutter for Pikuach Nefesh. But I'm allowed to borrow your property from Gilad. So he says, no, that's because you're chayv to save him. You have to save my life. But a dead person is patur from mitzvahs, doesn't have to save my life. Since he's patur from saving my life, then I can't do anything bad to him, even for pikuach nefesh. Okay, that is a big question. That is a big chiddush. Mishum de meis patur me mitzvahs atzalas nefashos. Ain heter lavor al iser bin adam lachaveiro b'makom pikuach nefesh. That is a big chiddush. I can't steal from you for pikuach nefesh. Now, if you're alive, you have to give it to me anyway to save my life. But someone's dead, they don't owe me anything, they're part of mitzvah, so I can't take away from a dead person's rights for pikuach nefesh. That is not mainstream. The Machleh Chaim's not mainstream, the Binyan Tzion's not mainstream. It's mainstream. Who's the famous author of the mainstream shita that Michael was hinting at? Anyone ever heard this famous shita? The Noda Bihuda. And Rav Poskin, the Chassam Sofer also, and Rav Poskin, they say, of course, nivel ameis mutter b'kuach nefesh. Give me a break. Don't give me these fancy schmancy conditions of binyan tzion. Every avir is mutter b'kuach nefesh unless it's gilui raayos avodah zarah shfichas damim. Of course, nivel ameis is mutter for b'kuach nefesh. But what's called b'kuach nefesh? Now, all of a sudden, they say, oh, one second, it's ridiculous. So why can't I go to medical school and like use my computer on Shabbos? Because after all, I'm going to graduate and I'm going to, and I'm going to save lives. So, says the Noda Bihuda, and most poskim, the vast majority of poskim, says the Noda Bihuda, says, no, pikuach nefesh doesn't mean anything that could save lives. And the Dover Sova, everything can save lives. So just violate the whole Torah, someday you'll be able to save someone's life. Says, no, pikuach nefesh means what he calls chole bifaneinu. If there's a sick person in front of us, that's pikuach nefesh. You're allowed to do aveiros. But just so that we'll be able to save lives theoretically in the future, that's not called pikuach nefesh. That's the chiddush of the Huda. That it's only called pikuach nefesh. You have chol b'faneinu. Now again, you have to know where to draw the line. What's chol b'faneinu? Let's say all of a sudden someone dies of an unknown mysterious disease in the middle of Manhattan. So most of us say that's called chol b'faneinu because we know he's been around lots of people in Manhattan and spread germs to them. So we don't have to wait for a guy to come to the hospital before we do an autopsy. You have to use common sense. If, like, there are lots of people who are in danger of dying in the near future, that's all. But to say I'll go to medical school because when I graduate in 7 years, I'll save lives, that's not called cholut faneinu, and therefore there's no heter, ruach nefesh, to go to medical school, including nivel ameis, etc. That is the mainstream psak, which is that... Lo nikra pikuach nefesh, ella im kein yesh chole bifaneinu. Only if someone's dying, that's pikuach nefesh to save him. If no one's dying, but someday in the future I'll be able to save lives, that's not called pikuach nefesh.
COVID example already gave an example of chole bifaneinu with like.
Yeah, so again, I don't know exactly what the Noda Bihuda would have meant, but in the consensus, the poskim is that if there's a clear and present immediate danger, that counts as chol b'faneinu, even if we don't know the name of the guy who's the chol b'faneinu. But to go to medical school is not chol b'faneinu. Okay, this is very, very controversial ad hayom hazeh because the Noda Bihuda, he thinks he has a knockout. He says, so why don't you go to medical school on Shabbos? Because you'll save life someday, et cetera, et cetera. So the Machleh Chaim answers back. He says, no, pashut, because you can go to medical school during the week. So there's no have to go to medical school on Shabbos. But you can't go to medical school without an anatomy lab. So therefore, that's pikuach nefesh, even if it's not b'faneinu. No, the Gemara says, if not chol b'faneinu, then everything's pikuach nefesh and just throw the Torah in the garbage. Machleh Chaim says, no. I don't mean everything's pikuach nefesh, because everything, there's another way to do it without that. Medical school on Shabbos, but I can go on a weekday. Medical school this, but I could do it that way. A Kohen, but a Kesen Yisrael. But when it comes to anatomy lab, there's no other way. Until they, maybe by now they've invented it, but certainly, maybe now mostly is no other way. Okay, so Maisa, this is the big machlokas. The mainstream psak is like the Noda Bihuda. the mainstream socks like the Benoni Yehuda. But this is very, very, very controversial. There's a lot to be said about it. The mainstream sock is like the Noda Yehuda. Okay, we're not going to get into all the halachah l'maisa now. And therefore, most people are machmer. I know where Shlomo Zalman is known to be chushish v'chsam sofer b'shem esra na. Most poskim don't ask Rishon Esra Na. Most poskim ask Rishon Nivel Ames, and there's no heter Kuch Nefesh because it's not Chole Befaneinu. I'll just point out that you do get one Kula according to the Binyan Sion. What's the Kula according to the Binyan Sion? It seems that what if the person willed his body to science before he died? Then the Binyan Sion would say that, oh, then it's okay, because we're not doing any Benon L'Chaveru, it was Michael. So there are those poskim who want to be Mechalik. Generally, I think in the anatomy labs nowadays, they only use people who voluntarily donated their bodies. Obviously, that is a Tzav L'Hakel. Maybe you could say that it's Nitzal L'Mechila. But it is, even though we said Kfur is not Nitzal L'Mechila, but if you're just Menavel it a little, then bury it. Maybe say Nitzal L'Mechila. Okay, there's a lot to be said about this, but these are the basics. And we'll go back to the Shulchan Aruch. You know, in modern day Israel, this is a very, very, very big issue. As you can imagine, I don't know what it was like once upon a time. You know, when I was born, the world was different. Nowadays, I don't know if the Israeli government could get away with saying, "Oh, our policy is we only cut up dead goyim in medical school." You know, like it's a different world nowadays. You know, that might not be the smartest move. So I think nowadays in a lot of Israeli medical schools, they rely on the kilim here, but I'm not abocking what they do. Often someone's advised to do if they are in Israeli medical school and they're very stark is, to sometimes they have a team of people who share a cadaver and do anatomy lab together, and not everyone has to touch the mace. Some people just have to watch. So often what people do want to go to medical school and have a mace Yisrael and are worried about nibble a mace and possibly Yisra Hana'a is that they're the guy in the team who just watches, therefore they don't do nibble a mace. Now I understand they're participating, but they're not doing nibble a mace, and they're more glad in terms of Isra Hana'a, because if you don't touch something, then it's probably, even Shlomo Zalman was only machmir because you handle it, like that riff at the, I don't remember if he quoted the riff or not, or just the same idea. I just found another post also. Anyway, Lamaisa, what you should do Lamaisa is either get a Mace Akum or be the one who just watches. Okay. If your mom is cutting up the Mace Yisrael, then, you know, you're relying on Mechila. No, better to go here and have bitachon that just like Hashem made many, many miracles from 1940 until now, he'll help you figure out how to navigate medical school and you'll stay in Eretz Yisrael.
New Mace, doesn't apply to Mandus?
Pash does not.
Why?
Because Pashtos Mitzvahs Kvura does not apply. Meaning Mitzvahs Kvura does not apply. So if Mitzvahs Kvura does not apply, that already is the most closely associated with Nibble and Mace. And according to many Rishonim, Isra Hana'a doesn't apply. Or it does only Drabbana, and then we can waive it for Kvura purposes. So, you know, if there's no Mitzvah Kvura, there's no Isra Hana'a, then that seems to imply that there's no Isra Nibble and Mace. No, but the most likely place to find a mucker for Nibble Mace in the Torah is the Mitzvah Kvura and the Isra Palama Sames. So it never says don't be Menavel Mace in the Torah. So therefore, and if you can say there's no Isra Hana'a, then that seems to imply that there's no Isra Nibble Mace, although it doesn't prove it, but that seems to be the mainstream.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, you're saying that there's no Mitzvah Kvura by what was all they said? Yefet had
schar
for Noah.
No. Yefet got schar min shamayim for kvura. But that's not a mitzvah. That's a schar min hashamayim for a particular act.
Huh?
Lots of people get scar for certain things. Then it's a mitzvah to give them that scar. It means that Hashem runs the world and he'll arrange that they get it. Now, how does he arrange that Yefet get Tura? Because in Mochemet Gog and Magog, which is, as it says, Ne Yefet Gomer Umagog, right? It says in the Navi that they will make a big scale operation, the biggest operation ever done in the history of, you know, Israel, to bury all the Mason, because there's just too many in Eretz Yisrael after a giant apocalyptic battle, and, you know, they'll have to bury them. But not because it's a mitzvah, because in that particular circumstance, it was historically necessary, and that, you know, that's general how God runs the world. When he wants to do something, sometimes he commands people to do it, and sometimes he just runs history so that it makes sense for people to do it. Okay, and if not, he's cleverer than me anyway, so he'll work it out. Okay, back to the Shulchan Aruch. It's actually interesting. I'll point out one thing, which is perhaps why would there be an Isra Hana and Mace Yisrael not a Mace Akum, which we saw as Machlokes Rishonim. So it could be Sham Sham Egla Rufa, and Egla Rufa is really learned from Karbonos, meaning Mace Yisrael used this guf to the Oved Hashem, and a guf which is used by Hashem or Fravot is Hashem, therefore has some sort of Tashmisha Kedusha status, and Tashmisha Kedusha status, even after it's no longer useful, still has an Isra Hana and a Mitzvah Sefura. Mace Akum, even, okay, some Akums are very, very evil, and some are nice people who do seven or more mitzvahs. But we all know that Tashmishe mitzvah, even doing nice things and being a good person, Tashmishe mitzvah ultimately are Nizrakim, and after the mitzvah's over, they no longer have any status. There's no Kiv Tur, there's no Isser Hana, and therefore, that's the difference between Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe mitzvah. Okay, the Rav tied this into the fact that Talmud Torah, Mishpatim by Yadon, that perhaps Torah is Kedusha, but in general, it is a very, very nice model, Tashmisha Mitzvah versus Tashmisha Kedusha, that, you know, there are plenty of Goyim who are very nice people, do a lot of nice things, but still, there's a difference between doing mitzvos and having Kedusha. And the Nafkamina is, just like all Tashmisha Mitzvah and Tashmisha Kedusha, Isra Noah and Kfura perhaps, again, depending on which shita. Okay, Viter. Let's go on to Sif Beis and get into some more details. Knowing how mace hamchorin begufo, right? Ornaments of the mace that are attached could go and pay a nachris, like a wig that is attached. What is attached? The example the Gemara means tied on. That's considered attached. Kesher shel kayama of the kayotziba. A certain one mace aspo, meaning there's a bittel to the mace. Ornaments that are not random things that I would, you know, I don't mean like I tie, you know, a string to my finger to remind me to, you know, pay the electric bill tonight. But I mean something that's an ornament. Ornaments are generally bottled to the dover itself. So an ornament that's tied on is considered like mace asrana and to Ramav Davkin Kshur Bisaras Gufon, only if they're attached to Kesher, Ainam Kshur Mutter, but if they're not attached, let's say modern day Payanachris, right? Our wigs nowadays, never worn a wig, but I've seen them. You don't attach them or tie them. You just put them on your head. No, someone's wife puts on a shape every morning.
No,
I have no idea. So they do have clips. Okay, but a clip is still not tying, although, you know, Yesh La'ayim, we'll get to in a second. It's still not tying. That's why you're allowed to take the rings off. If someone dies with rings, if someone dies with jewelry, they give the jewelry to the family. Why? Because the jewelry is not tied to their guf, it's just on the guf. This is only case of stam. That's only in a stam. In a stam, it's bottled to the guf. But if the first commanded, when I die, give my wig to, or anything else tied to Plony, to a relative, to any purpose, etc., then they've separated them. They said, I don't want it to be both my guf. I don't want it. It's their guf. They have the right to decide what's part of their guf and what isn't. They've separated from their guf. They've said, I don't want it to be part of my guf. And then it is no isser anah, and you just give it to whatever they said. Aval saro mamash avilun tziva lo asar anah. But the hair itself, even if she says, cut off my hair and give it to my daughter to make a sheitel, then doesn't make a difference because that's actually part of the guf. If a woman is a psakdin of chiyuv misa, then she does not become asura b'hana till she dies. Meaning the psakdin of misa doesn't create nisra na, as opposed to what case? When does the psakdin of misa create nisra na? Sure niskal, right? Except for a bit of time, but we don't take a sheet into account. Halacha l'maisa. Sure niskal, the psakdin makes nisra na. But a chi of Mises Bezdin, the psakdin doesn't make yisra na. Just dying makes yisra na, whether it's Mises Bezdin, whether it's any other form of death. Therefore, she can certainly cut off her hair and give it and sell it or give it away before she dies. This actually is very controversial, the issue of hair, because there's a sugyan erkin dap zayin about the hair of someone who's chi of Mises Bezdin versus the hair of Shor Niskal. And the Gemara says, that case, the person is different from Shor Niskal, because Misa causes the Isra Na'ah. And there's actually a Machlokas Rishonim about what that means. The Mechaber is following the Ramban, Rashba, and the Tor, right? Sayar, Ramban, Rashba, and the Tor. The Gemara says the hair of someone who's Chai Misa Bezin is Mutter, because Misa makes the Isser. There are two ways of interpreting that Gemara. One line is, here is Asur Ba'anah. What does it mean? It means after the Psak, it's Mutar Ba'anah. Because there's no Misa yet. But once there's Misa, it becomes Asur Ba'anah. However, and that's the push shot in the Gemara. However, Rashi doesn't say that. And the Rambam doesn't say that. And Tosfos doesn't say that. That's the mainstream. Interpretation. And what do Rashi and the Rambam and Tosos say Seir is Mutar Ba'anah? Why do they say? They say dying is what makes an Isra Na'ah. Can hair die? You can die here. Now, hair doesn't die because hair is not actually living particles. Hair doesn't die. So it's two ways. The Gemara says, Misa is Oseris. So the Rambam and the Rashi first say, until she dies is Mutar Ba'anah. Once she dies, it's Oser. And Rashi says, he doesn't say this quite so, but it's the only way to be Rashi, I think. That's what I'm saying. I couldn't think of another way to be Rashi. He says, no. Only something says a biological process of dying becomes Asur Ba'anah. Since here has no biological process of dying, it's not Asur Ba'anah. Okay, this is a big machlokas. How do we paskin? If you look in the Nekudas HaKesef here, he says, second Nekudas HaKesef, a Ram of Asmag. Oh, I forgot the Smag, right? The shows goes to the Smag. Paskudas are Mutar Ba'anah. And even though the Beis Yosef was against them, the Rashi was against them, nonetheless, it seems away from Rashi and the Rambam, etc. So this is the Mechaber. This is the Nekudas HaKesef and Halach Lemaisa. We pass in like the Mechaber, and we assume that the hair of a mace is Asur Ba'anah. Okay, Safik is Daraisa. We pass in the hair of a mace is Asur Behana. Let's just discuss some other things. So the Shas of Gut and Gimel says, what's the limit? How attached does, forget about the hair, the hair would pass with Asur Ba'anah. How attached does a wig have to be Asur Ba'anah? The Mechaber says only if it's, sorry, the Ramah says only if it's tied. But the Shach quotes in the Bach, in Sivkut and Gimel, even if it's woven in and it's not tied. They have something called weaves now, although that's probably tight. I'm not a buck in these things. But even if it's woven, but less than tight and less than woven, l'chora not, what do we call the shades of the clips? Pashas, that's less than tight and less than woven. All you have to do is like pull the clip. And the minhag olam is that we never bury a shetel or asur ba'anah with someone. we bury people without their shetels. We don't ask the shetel ba'anah. The Lemaisa, we assume that shetels are not. There's a whole discussion of jewelry in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkot, and we won't go through all of them, but Sivkot and Dalid, quoting the Bechor Shor, he says, what about jewelry that's tied on? What about jewelry that's tied? So in Bishri Tshuva, Sivkat and Dalid, he says, I'm Sir Bechor Shor. He says, what if you have jewelry that's tied? Not such a crazy thing. Yes. What? Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting question. Is that considered tied? Basically, that's what he says. He says, you know, a lot of jewelry, it's not so clear how to consider it because it's like attached very strongly. Maybe that counts like tying, or if not, maybe at least counts like weaving. And he says, you know what? Maybe even if the ring's very hard to get off. And then he's machria against the Ramah. He says, you know what? First of all, according to the Rambam and Rashi and many Rishonim, even Seyar's Mutarana, call Shekane everything else. Because you should know when the Sugya talks about the Peyanachris, etc., it's not talking about the Isra'na of Amesa. It's talking about the Isra'na of Irinidachas. Well, that's a whole separate Sugya. So he says, Tutsnat Mohako, number one, maybe even her hair is mutter. So call Shekane the wig and everything else. Number two, even if you can assume her hair is usher and the wig is usher, what's the difference between a wig and jewelry? Just common sense. What's the difference between a wig and jewelry in terms of being buckled to my body? A wig is supposed to be part of my body. It's like instead of my hair. A false tooth would be the same thing, right? But jewelry, that's not supposed to look like part of my body. It's just not an ornament. So the Bechor Shor says, he passing the Yenth Ramah. The Ramah says jewelry's okay if it's not tied. He says jewelry's okay even if it is tied, because maybe even wigs are okay. And this whole Ramah and Mechaber are wrong. We should paskin like Rashi and the Rambam. And even if hair and wigs are not okay, that's this chiddush the Ramah. I mean, it's not his own chiddush, but I don't remember who's the first person who talked about rings. Maybe it was the Ramah. But Lamaisa, we are knowing like the Bechor Shor that we're not machalic jewelry, whether it's tied or whether it's woven or exactly how attached it is. We assume that jewelry is not Osirvana. And you know, when someone dies, the Chevra Kadisha puts all the jewelry in a little Ziploc bag and gives it to the family. Okay.
Maybe.
Unclear. There's an interesting question. Gimel, like, if something goes around, what do you do with it then? You know, let's say someone has a tooth implant. You know, do you have to like take it out and bury it separately? He says, I don't know. Whatever is attached to the body, you leave on the body and you bury with it. Okay, but again, these are things that Chevra Kadisha has been talking about. Gimel. Imhayu avivimam zakhal of kalim. Apparently, there's a thing in the old days. Kalim here means not pots and pans. Kalim, like most places in Shas, means that. Yeah.
Is this where we get to the questions of like organ donation or not really?
Ah, organ donation, not really, because organs are for sure us around now. They're part of the body, right? And organ donations, pashtos, should only be mutter for pikuach nefesh. Most organ donations are pikuach nefesh. So that's a whole deal in the postgim. What about there's, you know, basically, it's, you know, the big discussion is what about cornea donations? Is a cornea pikuach nefesh or not? You know, like to restore eyesight. So some of the poskim are mekel there. Also, the retired fact that maybe not being able to see is also could lead to pikuach nefesh. You know, because that's like to fix people who are mamash blind. And maybe, although this is a bit of a stretch, maybe if the person donates it, then it's okay. Although that's a bit of a stretch. What would take away the Isra'na? But lemaisa, when it comes to organ donations, you really need pikuach nefesh. Or at least, you know, to be makel and call it pikuach nefesh. It's not pikuach nefesh at all. It's hard to justify organ donations. But lemaisa, they generally only do organ donations to pikuach nefesh because, like, organ donations are, like, a really hard thing to do. If it was pikuach nefesh, you wouldn't start putting people's organs in someone else. So usually that's mutter for pikuach
nefesh. I mean, this would tie into the same discussion about chol
v'neinu. Organ donations are only done for chol v'neinu.
Really? There's no, you can't like...
You don't like put them in a freezer for a few years and see if you need them. They're only done fresh. To the best of my knowledge, you know, yeah, to the best of my knowledge, they're only done, like, it's not like, oh, we have like lots of organs and like we have a big freezer someplace and put another few hundred and see if we need them someday. No, really, there, maybe you could, but the metzias is adra. The metzias is, we have a few thousand people waiting for organs and here's one organ. You know, here's the name of the guy who's first on the list. So it's always chol v'neinu. Lamaisa, it's interesting in the certainly in the Israeli culture, etc. It's like this deep-seated traditional belief that Jews don't donate organs, but al pi halacha that is not correct. Al pi halacha for pikuach nefesh, you should donate organs. And again, generally, I don't mean donate your body to science for research. Generally, again, organs are only taken for pikuach nefesh. They don't transplant organs just for fun. If no one's dying, they don't start switching their organs out. That's a good one. So that's an interesting question. What about, let's say, not so much in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because the road is obviously the other way. But what about in America? Lemaisa, I think that it's good to donate organs in America also, for two reasons. Number one, because you know, if the Jews donate to the goyim donate to the Jews, then it ends up being for the Jews also. And number two, because there's a waiting list. Every time you donate an organ, everyone goes up one on the list and gets an organ quicker. So lemaisa, it's pikuach nefesh for not for the person who this organ goes to. It's pikuach nefesh for everyone on the list because we don't know how many days they'll be able to make it. Because you know, most people die because they don't get an organ until it's too late. So really, when you and the list is fixed. So when you donate an organ, everyone goes up one space on the list, so everyone gets a donation quicker. So I don't think that's a I don't think that's a real issue. That's a real concern. Okay, Gimel. Sorry, where were we? They were throwing clothing onto the mita of the mace. Mitzvah lacherim latzilan. It's a mitzvah for people. Here, it's interesting. You know, this is one of the many places in halacha where we don't believe that people have freedom to do whatever they want. We believe that they only have freedom to do what they really want. And therefore, if someone in a moment of grief is wasting thousands of dollars by throwing it onto the mita, say, just bury this, bury all the money with, you know, with my kid, etc. That's not really what they want to do. They're just hysterical now. And therefore, it's a mitzvah to stop them. Again, this doesn't match some liberal notions of freedom, perhaps, but it's a mitzvah to stop them from doing what they're hysterically doing because that's not really what they want to do. And therefore, in lo nagu mita versima, if they didn't, they're not good, they don't good aim, if it didn't touch the beer, the mita. But once it touched the mita, let's just continue the machaber, we'll go back to the ramah, lo nagu ba asurim. Once it touched the mita, it is asur. Why? In what circumstances? Also, shazark will love. If they belong to the thrower, which is what's the principle here in Kol Tarkula. If I throw your clothing onto the mace, why is that not us, sir? And only if they threw it intending to bury it with him. So they didn't intend to bury it with him. Then they're just like anything that happens to touch a mace, not us, but not only something that's supposed to be buried with the mace. That's supposed to be, that's like tachrichin. Why is this usher? It's not clear why this is usher. Even if they threw it and intended for it to be buried with him, but, which is why are they throwing it? They're not throwing it because like, you know, like throwing candy at an afraf. What they're saying is, oh, my son died. I don't care about all my money. Take all these thousands of dollars worth of clothing, take all my fortune, whatever, and throw it on the ground with him because everything's worthless now that my son died. That's what they're saying. And we understand why they feel that way. Even though we don't think they're right. It's not logical, but we understand. And therefore, only if they had intentionally buried with him. Why? So Shach explains, because it's really Mida Oraisa, so there's no Isra Anah here. Because Isra Anah is only something tuffle to the mace. Only the Tachrichin are tuffle to the mace. Not if you stomach a pile of clothing on him. That's not tuffle to the mace. However, it's Midra Bana, not Isra Anah, because it's Michlef to Tachrichin, because it's similar to Tachrichin. After all, I intend for him to be buried with this clothing. that's very close to intending to be buried in this clothing, right? And therefore, that's midrabanan and isranah, because it's similar to achrisha mace, and therefore you have to try to stop them before they succeed in making asrabanah. Again, this is perhaps a limit on the autonomy that we grant to people. If I save the clothing, like catch it, monkey in the middle, before it hits the mace, I'm now a shomer on it, and I'm chayiv in pshia. So if the owner says, give it back to me, and I give it back to the owner, he can then sue me later. Why did you give it back to me? I was hysterical. It's like you threw it in a place of wild animals where it would be trampled on and broken. And it's pshia. So fascinatingly, to listen to the owner is pshia in this case. And I have to not listen to the owner and say, I'm not giving it to you. And if I listen to the owner, he can sue me later because he says, you know, that I was just hysterical and you shouldn't have given it to me. And the end Rama says, Haga, dash etiaru. The board that they did the tara on and the kalim they used to carry him to the thing they carry on. No, that's an asrana, because the asrana is only things that are meant to be buried with him. Things that you just use for the mace, those are not asrana because they're not tuffle to the mace. Tuffle to the mace is only something you mean to bury with him. It's daraisa if it's something you mean to bury with him, it's actually useful for burying, like shrouds. And it's midraban if you mean to bury it with him, and it looks like shrouds, like throwing kalim. Okay, dalad, but nowadays gimel doesn't go up so much because people don't do that anymore. Dalad kalamar b'kalim mace where he's over shabal tashchis. Okay, that's implication of gimel as well. If you put in too many expensive things to bury the mace, that's clear bal tashchis. Yes. Shemos are. They're not like with the mace in the coffin, in the talus, whatever, but I think some shemos, at least, like shemos chamurin, we try to bury with the talmud chacham, like in the same hole. Okay, shin nun aleph. Din klayim v'tzitzit l'mace. Tachricha mace mutar lasos miklayim. You're allowed to make shrouds of the mace out of klayim. We don't do that nowadays, so we have a minig al pi kabbalah to make only out of pishta. Not because of client. I'll pick up all and make it a pishdan. You want to know why? Become a mukul. But halachically, it's a mafurish mishnah in klayim that you're allowed to make tachrichin out of klayim. The pashup shot is that, I mean, the Gemara says, why is this? Because we hold by mesim chafshi, mitzvahs betelos l'asid lavo, that even in Trias HaMesim, he will be potter for mitzvah. So, okay, exactly what that means, the philosophical implication we're not getting into. But basically, we assume by Mesim Chafshi that a mace is not Chayim Mitzvahs anymore. Therefore, we can bury him in Klayim again. We don't nowadays do Minil Pi Kabbalah. And even the Shach brings his death. Sorry, that was the previous one. We don't do it Al Pi Kabbalah, but halachically, you could bury him in Klayim. Okay, Beis. In covers a mace, but Talashesh Potsetsis. This is the Mechaber, and the Mechaber is a Mefurish Gemara. I'm not saying we do it. I assume Svardim do. But the Gemara says Mefurish that? The Gemara says Mefurish that you have to bury a mace, put tzitzis on his talus. The truth is, just to be fair, the Gemara doesn't say you have to bury him in a talus like in Amarna de English. The Gemara assumes you bury everyone in a rectangle of cloth, because all cloth was rectangles in their days. It says, yeah, put tzitzis on the rectangle. Theoretically, just like if I wasn't so stark, it would not be an affair for me to walk around with that tits as long as I don't have a four-cornered garment. I guess you don't have to give him a four-cornered garment. But if you do give him a four-cornered garment, you have to put on tzitzis. Okay, the Gemara says, why? Why does he have to wear tzitzis? So the Gemara doesn't say because he's chayv in mitzvos. What does the Gemara say? Two words? And what's the only possible two-word answer? Loid the rush. Right, if you're clever, you don't need to kiss. Loig l'rush. Because if loig l'rush, that we're wearing tefillin, we're wearing tzitzis, sorry, and he's not wearing tzitzis. And therefore, it is a bit of loig l'rush. Oh, here's your thing, and we put tzitzis on it, but you're dead, so we're not. Therefore, it's loig l'rush. Interestingly, the Rishonim asks what's the obvious question, which is not dealt with at all in the Shulchan Aruch here, but the Beis Hillel brings it up in the small print. why, if there's Loig L'Rush, you have to give him tzitzis, why is there no Loig L'Rush for Klayim? Right? That's an interesting question. Why is there Loig L'Rush for tzitzis, not for Klayim? The Rishonim asked that question. It's just, it's not in Beis Yosef here. It is a little in Beis Yosef here, because I think the Beis Yosef and the Radak Rosh both say, see, Hilchas Klayim, Simchon Aleph, and it's in the Beis Yosef there. So it's an interesting question. It's a kasha on the Gemara. The Gemara says you have to give him tzitzis, Loig L'Rush, but it's a Mefurish Mishnah in Klayim that you can bury him in Klayim, and we don't worry about Loig L'Rush, obviously. So what's the answer to the stira? So I've seen four answers, three in the Rishonim, really. Three answers in the Rishonim, at least. Beis Hillel quotes two from the Bali Tosfos here. One answer is, because tzitzis is more Loig L'Rush, because tzitzis is, counts, is shkula, connected 613 mitzvos. Right, we know Rashi has his gematria there, and it was hard. Tzitzis represents all the mitzvahs. Klayim is just one mitzvah. One mitzvah is not Loig L'Rush. But tzitzis, which represents all the mitzvahs, is Loig L'Rush. That's one answer from the Bali Tosos. The second answer, the solo quotes from Tosos, is... What?
When you see what you do?
No, that's what the Ramban says, though. The Ramban in the Torah Adam, Hilchos Kfura says, Pasha, you see tzitzis, you don't see Klayim. It's Loig L'Rush. If you see, it doesn't have tzitzis. You can't necessarily see that it's Klayim. You ever go to Shana's lab? It's hard to tell. Even in their days, it was not so possible to tell. Yeah, at first glance, you didn't notice. So it's only Loig L'Rush if you notice. And you don't notice Klayim. That's a really, really simple answer. Bali Tosfos, I don't think, said that answer. It's a Mefurish Ramban. The other answer, the Bali Tosfos, the Beis Hillel quotes, is a Lumdish answer. And this, by the way, he discusses, there's a lot of Lumdish about this. He says, it's not a problem for him to wear Klayim because he's not Nana. There's no Eser Klayim if you're not Nehneh for the Klayim. And therefore, it's not Loig L'Rush, because I could also wear Klayim if I'm not Nehneh. Anyone know examples from Mishnayos, from Shas, that I'm allowed to wear Shatnez if I'm not Nehneh? On the stick is the Tznuim, but you could actually put it on, right? Mochen Ksus, Mochen Gedarkan, right? I could put it on, just me Mochen Ksus, etc. There's a whole discussion, what about trying on clothing in Shatnez? Some people say, if you're trying it on in the store, that's not Nehneh, it's okay. Lemaisa, you know, it's very controversial. We're not passing Hilchos Klayim now, but if you want the executive summary, if you know something's Klayim, I don't know why you try it on anyway, because why do you do it if it fits you? But if it's a Stam thing that just might be Klayim, if it's some bar of Shash of Klayim, then for sure you could try it on, because it's probably mutter to try an even Vadai Klayim. And it's for sure mutter to try something that's a Shash of Klayim, and there are many other reasons also. Okay, right. Anyway, but he has to assume tzitzis is your chayiv, even if you're not net, which some are going to disagree with, but there's no gemaras about. So it's a tzitzis is your chayiv, even if you're not net. So therefore, it's Loig L'Rush to not give him tzitzis. But Klayim is only Nisar Nenna. If it's not Nenna, it's not Loig L'Rush. It's very lumdish Loig L'Rush. The Ramban is very balbatish Loig L'Rush. If you see it or you don't see it. Anyway, interestingly, the Maharal gives a super lumdish answer to this. And he says, there's a difference between an asay and a lav, the Maharal, in the Gur Aryeh in Bereishis Perek Mem Vav. Right? The Maharal has a tremendous lumdish chiddush here. It's a nice chiddush. I don't know if it's true. It's not true. The Rishon didn't say this. He says, it didn't seem a lav and an asay. Tzitzis and asay. Klayim is obviously lav. He says, a base is potter for mitzvos. For someone who's potter to violate a lav, is not losing out on anything. Like if a guy would keep lavim, it wouldn't help. If the guy would start eating kosher and start not wearing shatnez and etc., it wouldn't help. There's no value to keeping lavim if you weren't with sufa. However, when I say, we know from Dama ben Asina, Gorim mitzuvah yosu, ain't mitzuvah osa, but ain't mitzuvah osa gets schar. If a guy does asays, he gets schar. If he keeps lavim, he doesn't get schar. That's a big chiddush in the Maharal. Therefore, once he's dead, to give him klayim, that's not Loig L'Rush because he's putter. But to not give him tzitzis is Loig L'Rush, because even if you're putter, there's still value to doing asays. That's a very deep philosophical idea. Anyway, okay, but that was a tangent. Lemaisa, the fact is, I gave you four answers to the stira, two from Bali Tosfos, right? That either it's a matter of hana or a matter of shkula, kenegi kol mitzvos, one from the Ramban, it's a matter of nicker, the most practical one, and one fancy schmancy from the Maharal, that there's a halos of asay if you're potter, but no halos of a lav if you're potter, which makes a certain degree of sense. If I do something, even if I'm potter, I'm doing something. To refrain from something if I wasn't forbidden to do it does not add value. Fascinating. You say, if Don Ben Asina had said, I'm going to stop eating pigs, he wouldn't have gotten any schar. He says, I'm do hibra va'ein, then he'll get schar. I mean, he did get schar. Okay, anyway, back to our topic. However, even though it's a foolish Gemara, it's a foolish Gemara that you have to bury in tzitzis. This became a tremendous machlokes rishonim. It's not clear why, but I didn't do like this historical research. Like, where's the first place in history where we see that, meaning before Tosfos, that this was controversial? Because in the Gemara, it's like black and white. And the Mechaber is following Ramban. So the black and white Gemara is black and white Gemara. Don't give me any of your chidushim. Basically, he follows the Ramban, who says, the Gemara says, put on tzitzis, put on tzitzis. Good enough for the Gemara, good enough for us. However, the Bali Tosos, not only the Bali Tosos, this definitely goes before the Bali Tosos, already in the earliest days that we've shown in the Reb and Melchizedek is quoted as having an opinion about this. Lemaisa, why was there a minhag to not? So there, the Tosos brings down two reasons why not to put tzitzis on, even though in the time of the Gemara they did. Maybe nowadays we don't. What are the two reasons nowadays not to? One is Arinu Tam. Al-Kafevi, they have Ledoro Tam, is Ledor Tam for the generation where they are Tamimus and keep all the mitzvos, because tzitzis is connected 613. In our generation, when we're no longer Tam and we don't keep 613 mitzvos, then it's Sheker to put tzitzis on the beast. Because he's not a Dor Tam. When you put tzitzis, you're saying he kept 613 mitzvos. I'm lying about the bases, negative. Because nowadays, we're not on a madriga. We don't keep 613 mitzvos. So Rina Tam says, the days of the Gemara, they were on a madriga. Now we're not on a madriga. The Sham Derim is Lador Tam. The Re says something much more practical. He says, the days of the Gemara, everyone wore tzitzis. He says, nowadays, we're not so good at tzitzis. Okay, maybe since the time of the Re, we've gotten better. I mean, I guess it depends if you count like yeshiva guys or like all Jews in the world. All Jews in the world, I think most of them, vast majority of them don't wear tzitzis. It's very rare among the non-Orthodox. And not even all the Orthodox Jews do. Come to these matters during the day. What?
Yemenites, like in Yemen, they never wear
tzitzis. Yemenites didn't wear tzitzis, okay? Look at that. Anyway, says the read.
My daily just would be behind.
No, I understand. What? In the days of the Re? I'm not convinced. I think the Re meant that, because in his days, most people didn't wear dalet kanfos. I think the Re just meant, now that we don't wear dalet kanfos, only the super tzaddik can put on a special talis katan to where it sits. And even nowadays, it's like the kobo is like a standard for high school. You're supposed to wear tzitzis, from high school, but still, what? Even in the Orthodox high schools, it's not enforced. So Kol Shekain, I assume the less Orthodox Jews don't wear tzitzis all the time. Although they do sometimes. I remember Ramon told me once, the last time we had a war in Gaza, he went like to the border where they were all getting ready to go into Gaza. And he came with a car full of boxes and boxes of tzitzis, and he ran out. Every single soldier says, what? you ruined the story. No, it's not their dry fit. It's because they needed all the help they can get. If you're going to Gaza, then, if there's some little thing you could do that would get you a little more siyata d'shmaya, then you don't forgo that opportunity. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Which is why, by the way, so that's the reason. So the two reasons are Rabbeinu Tam, we don't keep all 613 mitzvahs, we're not a Dor Tam, so we're different from the Gemara, or the Re, we don't wear tzitzis so much anymore, so we're different from the Gemara, which is why the Rav Yah said, well, it just depends what the guy did when he was alive. Halacha l'maisa, there have been many compromises. Let's look at the Ramah then. Let's go back to Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah, the Yeshom Dein Tzitzis. Some people say not. right? The Torah B'Shem Yesh Omrim. Again, that's the minhag of the Balei Tosfos, basically. The Taz points out there's some mystery. I love mysteries. When Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola died, he said, Tzitzis Chutz. And they didn't know if he meant that they should take the tzitzis off his talis, because nowadays you bury without tzitzis, or he meant, have my tzitzis sticking out of the arum so everyone will see you're burying me in tzitzis. And at that point, there was no way to find out. So it's just one of these mysteries. yeah. What? I have no right to an opinion about this. Anyway, but I enjoy the mystery. Okay, when I next see Rabbeinu Gershom, I will ask him. But I'm hoping that won't be for another 70 years.
No, but you don't know what theorem up here. You don't know what you meant,
also you don't know what theorem up here. That's okay. I'm not such a brisker. I can ask Rabbeinu Gershom. anyway, Viter. Okay, let's go. We got to move. Anyway, says the Ramah, what's the minag? Benagu lekavra betzitzis. He says a pshara. The pshara is we bury him with tzitzis, but passel it. Either we passel the tzitzis, meaning we like untie one corner, or korchen echem min hakanfos means we, I'm not sure exactly what he had in mind physically, but I think what he meant here is that they would like tie very, very well one of them so that it wasn't a corner anymore, so that it was patur from tzitzis. There are many different minhagim. Some had the minhag just hide the tzitzis.
Is this the
talus
that the mason wrapped in, or this is the tzitzis cover?
No, the talus mason is wrapped in. There's no talus cover. Halacha, there's a lot more to be said, but let's just go down to halacha le maisa. Let's just go down to halacha le maisa. By the way, there's actually the Bach brings another opinion here. Says the Shach, he quotes the Bach. Again, so far we have three opinions. The Mechaber says give him tzitzis, Duma says more, no problem. First day, Yesh Omer is don't give him tzitzis. The compromise is pasul tzitzis. The Bach says, Chashon, we don't pasul tzitzis. We just, we don't pasul the tzitzis. Rather, we just make them temporarily not look like tzitzis. Either we tie them to each other, or we like stick them into the corners like, you know, we sort of hide them by sticking them into a little pocket in the talus so that you don't see them. So that halacha l'maisa, there are only two minhagim nowadays to the best of my knowledge. One minhag is minhag chutz laretz. The Archa Shulchan brings that down here as minhag chutz laretz. And everyone I've asked in chutz laretz says that's the minhag, which that you wrap in, we don't see in chutz laretz because they use a coffin. Inside the coffin, they wrap him in a talus. But they untie the tzitzis from one corner and just put them in there. But it's not a halal tzitzis because they untied one corner. And that's the minhag of chutz laretz to untie the tzitzis from one corner. So it only has three, because it has three corners. The minhag in Eretz Yisrael, you can see them in the Eretz Yisrael, there's no coffin, is they carry him out in a talus up to the grave, then take the talus off and bury him without the talus. That's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. And then, since they never intended to bury the talus, then they give the talus back to the family.
So, meaning in terms of that other minhag Eretz Yisrael, what do they do with the fourth part?
Minhag Eretz Yisrael, they use a regular talus. They carry him in a regular talus and then take it off before they put him in the grave. And chutz laretz, they untie one corner and just put the strings in there. That way, in Tchias HaMesim, he can tie it on, which then brings up the Sfira. What about when Mesim Hafshi? What's he going to do with his Klayim? Okay, we're not getting into everything now, but that's the minhag. Again, nowadays, I only know of two minhagim, at least among Ashkenazim. I don't know what Sfardim do, but at least everything I see in Ashkenazim, in Eretz Yisrael, they put him in a regular talus, usually his talus, and then take it off. Before they bury, and then chutz laretz, they put him in a talus inside, but untie one corner. Like the Ramah says, post lint tefillah
hatzitzis. Well, what's the value, like, in chutz laretz of just having that last corner?
So one value is if that when tchias amesim, he'll be able to tie it back.
I'm saying maybe he doesn't have to find this
In Tchiasa Mason, he'll be able to tie it back. Okay. He won't have to go to this farm store.
Okay.
The pashas, that's the only value, which then creates a problem because if then how can you bury him in Klayim? Because when there's Tchiasa Mason, he'll be wearing Klayim.
Right.
So we'll have to undress and be naked in the shuk, which is not nice. So that is a that's a good pasha. And the you know, it seems to be that it could be that the minig Ashkenaz and Kutzlaritz is to be choshesh that maybe we do have to prepare him to keep mitzvos in Tchias HaMeisen. And maybe we would not give him klayim. Maybe we'd assume we don't pass on a commission to klayim. That's what would seem to come out, even though it's very radical. But it's not so radical because there are different days in the Gemara, right? There's a Gemara in Nida Daf Samach Aleph that says that that in Tchias HaMeisen has to be ready to do mitzvos. So it could be taka that in Ashkenaz, you say, what's the point of putting strings that are untied? Don't say it avoids Lord of the Rush. It's a big Lord of the Rush to untie the strings right. And say, ha-ha. L'chor, it must be that Minig Ashkenaz is that we pass him against the mission of Klein, like the more need Daf Samach Aleph and base, that he has to be prepared, and then we wouldn't bury in Klein. That he has to be prepared for Tchias HaMeisen.
I understand why you even bring that there. It's not that one. You untie one of them eats all the moments once he's Tchias HaMeisen happens. Until he finally ties the fourth strings, he's wearing
a broken throne. Okay, I'm not getting into it now because it's really, but you know, it's like Mufurshah the Mordechai, that's not a problem. It's Mufurshah the Mordechai, you can put on the four corner garment and then tie the strings.
There's just like one Mitzvah. Like, I'm saying like, actually,
I'm not. Okay, Viter. We're up to. Shin Nun Beis, right? Ein Kovar Meisur Chichin Yekara Afilu Nasi Bishol. You don't bury an expensive shroud even for the Nasi. This is the famous story. Who's the famous story about? Ramingam Liel, right? That it used to be very expensive because the Kovar Meisur would have super expensive Tachrichin to the point where families couldn't afford it. And they would, if their relative died, they would just like dump him in another town and run away. Because they couldn't afford the money, and they were too embarrassed to bury him in regular shrouds. Tell Rabbi Gamliel, he was the hero, and he obviously was filthy rich, he was a Nazi, and he ordered himself to be buried in the cheapest, like plain linen available. And they did that, and from then on, everyone said, "Good enough for the Nazi, good enough for us," and he solved that problem. Okay, what do we see from here? What do we see from here? Two things. First of all, Ad Hayom Hazeh. The funeral directors, et cetera, always try to push people to spend as much money as they can so that they can make money. And besides the fact that Chas HaTorah L'Manon Shel Yisrael, here very, very particularly, it's an important job for a rabbi, if someone's a rabbi community, et cetera, to like fight the funeral directors. The OU actually made a whole thing. Like they used their consumer power against all the funeral homes in America and like got this special like OU Orthodox deal. I mean, they weren't representing non-Orthodox Jews. They got the special OU deal, which like all funerals who wanted to like be affiliated with them somehow like have to give you this plain deal that's not so expensive. Funeral directors still won't start. It's a very lucrative business. A weird one. but very lucrative. Maybe there are people who do it lishma. I'm sure there are people who do it lishma. So it's very important that like people should not have social pressure to spend too much money that they can't afford. We know that Kavod HaMeis is one of the things that's docha the most things in halacha. So another good lesson for all of us is private lives and if we're going to be rabbis, is that if even for Kavod HaMeis, rabbis have to ensure that people don't have social pressure to spend beyond their means and you have to go the extra mile and err on the other side. In order to counterbalance on the other side, in order to ensure people aren't socially pressured to spend beyond their means, then kol shekein for everything else, it's important, it's part of being a rabbi, to make sure that Jews don't have social pressure to spend beyond their means. Unfortunately, in a lot of Jewish communities, there's a lot of social pressure to spend a lot of money on things, and it's often beyond people's means, so we need more rubbing of wheels. Okay. But that is not the direct topic here. Even within this, there is a balance. Even within this, there is a balance. Because if you look in the Shach quotes, first he goes to Tikkun Olam, and then he says, not only Tikkun Olam, it's Gassus Ruach, it's arrogant to spend a lot of money, and Hashchas, and it's a waste. But again, it's mostly obviously the Tikkun Olam of like that people were being crushed by the debt. Then he quotes the darkei motion that Gross Prisha quotes in Mukhe Yosef that if you make nice tachrichim, that's a big mitzvah because it shows you believe in Tchias HaMesa, that you care what he looks like. So it's a stira. Yeah. So he's, what? Yeah. I'm reading the first shach, Shinon Beis. Says, but it's not a stira. Says it's a balance. It doesn't mean you have to give him torn, ragged clothing with stains on it. It means they have to be nice but cheap. Okay, so there's a balance, and that's in real funeral life or death or whatever. It has to be a balance. It has to be mechubed, but as cheap and posh as possible. Exactly how to draw that line, you know, I think one needs common sense. Beis, Nagu Likbar Gunim Levanim, the minag is, doesn't say Baruch Leo what color. There's another Gemara about individuals saying what color they want to be buried in, but Lamaisa, the minag is to use white clothing. And if you look in the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Beis, he points out, Loshon HaLavush Be'Big Day Pishton Levanim, white linen clothing. Chayin B'Torah Shem Rambam is the minhag. And then he says that it seems that even the thread it's sewn with, you know, all of our clothing is sewn mostly with cotton thread, no matter what it's made out of. No, for the tachrichim, for the mace, it's linen and sewn with linen thread. Why? And then he talks about so gadol b'vishas, big day, big at pishtan, etc. Okay, so I'm not Bucky Kabbalah, but he goes on and on about Alpi Kabbalah, how important it is to use big day pishtan, and that's the minhag nowadays. Gimel, ha'ish eino korech ha'makasher isha, v'le isha v'resh m'shgar v'tasher se'ish. The korech ha'makasher, it means putting on the shrouds. You wrap them and tie them. I mean, there's different shrouds. A man can't do it to a dead woman, but a woman can do it to a dead man. Okay, that's just psychological difference. If you're a hurim, the man will have work of hurim, and the woman will not. Nowadays, that's the sort of ikaratin. Nowadays, the men again is that men only do men and women only do women. And every town I've ever seen, there's again, I don't know what it's like if there's some town with one Jew or something. But in any town I've ever seen, they have a chevra gadisha, they have a men's division, a women's division. The men do the men, the women do the women. Although strictly, the women could do the men, but that's not the minhag nowadays. Dalit, what are some things we do? Matzimin einav shalmeis, we close his eyes. We have nifta pei kosher l'chayav. If his mouth opens, you know there's like rigor mortis, like. There's all kinds of eerie things that happen to dead bodies. The mouth like opens and then it's hard to close. You have to tie it shut if it opens. Upokikin nekavav, they stop up the orifices so that bodily fluids don't ooze out. After we wash out whatever we can, meaning the bodily fluids, we don't bury with him. Those are not considered to be part of the mace. It's not like if chas shalom someone's killed, whatever, they collect all the blood stain and everything. That's considered like we lay in Parsha. And Shabbos, that's part of the mace, but like the waste materials, bodily fluids are not considered part of the mace. We wash them with meaty to summon, but goes in sorrow, and we give him a haircut. Nowadays, the medic is not to give him a haircut, to the best of my knowledge. Vitzi Parnov, and we trim the fingernails. We wash him very well all over the body, so he'll be free. Toma, he doesn't mean ritual toma, but tara, let's say tara, so he means of just dirt, filth. The talk, I think in a lot of, we'll get to it in a second, but I think the Gesher Chaim points out that the Minag Eretzrels, we don't do cutting nails either. The Tachan Rosha Beitzim Truv Mikli Pasan, we smear on his head eggs that were mixed, like you mix the white and the yellow while they're in the eggshell. Like you don't pour them in a bowl and mix them. You mix them in the eggshell. What? The Gesher Chaim says that in Yerushalayim we don't have this minig anymore. I think in most places they don't. Shagagul shchozra olam. Why? Just like avilim eat eggs, because eggs are like round, right? If you notice, like most kitnios are not round. Like even, you know, they have like edges or they have openings, etc. Eggs are really round. I mean, spherical. I mean, they have no like angles. So, because the death is a circle of life. Right? Cycle of life, whatever it is. It's a galgal chozer olam, so we use eggs. Lemaisa, here he's referring to the minag called Tara. There's a whole ritual called Tara, which is not even rumors here in the Shulchan Aruch, which is how we pur a mace. There are very, very detailed minhagmes exactly what kind of tachrich we give him. It's not just wrapping the sheet under the sheet. There's many, many special begadim that are made of pishtan, sewn with pishtan, etc. There are some of those are found on the page. Like, for example, in the Gilly Mar Shah here, if you find in the small print, he says, I am saver lecha upon him. You know, if you say to rechitza gedola shetikin hilal azake, the taras ames by imchaim tishakabin, etc. We basically give them a taras mikvah. Those are familiar with some of the kulas. Like, you know, if you don't have a mikvah, you use tishakabin. We wash the mace with tishakabin. That's 9 kabim of water that you pour without a break. And in some fancy places, they actually have a mikvah. And they put the mace in the mikvah. Again, this isn't through the halacha, right? Tov l'sher it's b'yad. Just imagine putting the mace in the mikvah. This is not al pi halacha. This is al pi kabbalah. But the standards do tishakabim. Although there are funeral homes nowadays that have been closed. And there's things they say, and there's a whole ritual of exactly how do you do a tahara. L'maisa, what's the klal gadol of the minhagim of tahara? The klal gadol you can find in the maybe in the Berhetev here. He has a line here. What does he say?
You shouldn't deviate from the minhag in terms of what you clothe, the shrouds you put on them. You also shouldn't deviate from the minhag in terms of the tahara. We're not going to go through how to do a tahara here. There's sperm about it. It's, you know, a lot of things. Some things are common sense. Some things are, most of it's alpi kabbalah. Every place has their own, every city, every country has their own minhagim for tahara. As a matter of fact, many places have like books with their local minhagim for tahara. I bet if you would go to, you know, St. Louis or something, and you would say, you have a book for minhagim St. Louis, like how you daven on Yontif? They'd say, well, do you look like Frankfurt on Main? No. You have a book of minhagim of Hilchas Shabbos St. Louis? No. You have a book of Minhagim for Tara in St. Louis. Of course, here it's our Masorah, how we do a Tara. Like, it's really a lot of local Minhagim. Yeah, what? Yeah, how to do a Tara? I was just using that as an example, but I guess we could, correct? I didn't know that. Anyway, in Yerushalayim, they have their Minhagim. The Gesher Chaim says we actually do not do a lot of the things that it says in Chutzlart. They comb the hair in Yerushalayim. They don't comb the hair. It's a lot of differences. Okay. There's a whole, and it's considered very, very chashiv. The tara, number one, kavanah meis. The basic tara is kavanah meis, that he should be that he should be clean of filth and stinky things, and dressed in mechubadik shrouds. But the main parts of tara are al pi kabbalah, and it's the chevra kadisha that does the tara. The chevra kadisha's job is to do the tara, in most places the chevra kadisha is volunteers of like. You know, very stark people from the community who really want to go be Alma Aver and Chesed Shalemis. In cities in Israel, it's like a job. There are professional Chevra Kadishas, like in Yerushalayim, etc. Not in Olam Shvat. In Olam Shvat, it's just Balabat and, you know, who are very, very nice people. It's not an easy job. In Yerushalayim, it's a job. But Lemaisa, that's the Chevra Kadisha. The main job of the Chevra Kadisha is doing the Tara. And they have a Masorah how to do it. I bet every Chevra Kadisha has a written Masorah how to do it, not to mention the fact that they observe when they join the Chevra Kadisha. Okay, but we're not going to get into it now. There's a lot of Minhagim anyone who wants can, you know, I'm sure you can find online the Tara, if not from St. Louis, then at least from Yerushalayim or other places.
Is there any specific Minhagim that they have that are bad or?
No. It's a real, real yisod here that you just do with the minigas. Like this one of these cases where you do with the minigas, you don't ask questions. You do with the minigas, you don't ask questions. There aren't halachic controversies about this. There's a lot of weird things, but there are no halachic controversies. Everyone just does the minigas. Okay. So that's sort of what's not in Simon Shunan Beis, but sort of is reading between the lines, because a lot of these minhagim developed after the Shulchan Aruch. A lot of Kabbalah developed after the Shulchan Aruch, right? Maybe at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, Kabbalah was not yet so well known. The Ari had just started to spread it to the nation. Okay. Shin, what's next? Shin Nun Zion. Esr Halonas Hames. Okay, this is an Isidore Raisa. Says the Shonoch, you're not allowed to do Alonis Hamas. But we all know what the reason for Alonis Hamas is. It's because of Kavan Hamas. And therefore, adds the Shulchan Aruch, the Mefurish Gemara, Elam Kein Hilinu L'Chvodo, unless it was for Kavod HaMeis, you're not allowed to leave Meis overnight without burial, unless it's for his own Kavod. What's the example of Kavod? L'Havad L'Orm V'Tachrichim, to get shrouds in a coffin. You don't have the proper equipment. O Mekononos, or to get these women who used to wail and chant dirges. Okay, nowadays, maybe you would say, you know, by some people to get a chazan, you know, or to get like a rabbi who can do the funeral or whatever. Kadesh Yavo Krovim, that's the only common case. Kadesh Yavo Krovim, for the relatives to arrive. Oh, Mashmiya Ayaros, or to tell all the cities to get the masses to arrive. Okay, nowadays, none of these things are so common because most of these things are not common because there's Aron Tachrichim everywhere usually. And there's, we don't need Mekononos. And Lashmiya Ayaros, you know, we have WhatsApp. But the main reason they do Alonis Hamas nowadays is for the Krovim. You know, for the Krovim to come, that's certainly in America. The minhag is, you wait. I don't mean if there's a Karuv in Antarctica or something, or the space station, but you wait 2 days till all the Krovim fly in from all over the world. And in Eretz Yisrael, in many places, they also do that. Because that's Kavod HaMeis, that the Krovim should be at the funeral. Even though it's also very nice for the Karov, like someone's mother died, she wants to be at the funeral, but we don't say, oh, she wants to be at her mother's funeral, but why is she being so selfish? Rather, we shouldn't care. We say, no, it's covered for all the Krovim to be at the funeral, for whoever can to be at the funeral, and therefore, that's considered a heter of Kavod HaMeis, which means basically that the Isser of Halonas HaMeis is, you know, is the Isser of Halonas HaMeis is not something that's like, actually, I shouldn't say that. It is something with Maisa nowadays. You can curse to other people, you know, what the a lot of other religions. No, they wait many days, et cetera, even for no particular reason, et cetera. You know, the Christians wait a long time. And so, Maisa, it means you should bury as soon as possible, but as soon as possible means as soon as possible, the Mechobedic burial with people able to show up with the family there. So you just try to do it basically as soon as possible. That is the minhag in Chutz Laretz. However, here it gets a little tricky because in Yerushalayim, the minhag, it's not minhag, the din is, Eino Linus HaMeis B'Yerushalayim Klal. You're not allowed to, in the page of the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know if this comes up because most people didn't live in Yerushalayim. Some Jews didn't have Shulchan Aruch, but in Yerushalayim, Eino Linus HaMeis B'Yerushalayim Klal. It's Isser Gomer Derabanan. You're not allowed to leave a mace overnight in Yerushalayim. What? In the Gemara. There's a big machlokus. What is Yerushalayim? What's called Yerushalayim? So the Gesher Chaim Paskins means the old city. Because that's halachically Yerushalayim. And that makes most sense. Not so bad. Part of Purim, we have a din of Samach Venera. But Yerushalayim is only the old city, the same as every other din of Yerushalayim. In the old city, you can't be malin a mace at all, no matter what, even the chvodo. Or Shlomo Zalman, what?
Practically, what does that mean? Nobody's buried in the old city. So they're going to bring it out of the old city anyway.
Okay. That is a good point. So what's really the nafkamina? After all, they're going to bring them out of the old city anyway. So maybe there's really no nafkamina nowadays. Meaning, 100 years ago, people only lived in the old city. Almost everyone only lived, you know, but maybe you're right.
No, it's keeping the mace overnight.
I'm saying, but nowadays, we wouldn't keep the mace overnight in the old city. Anyway, we'd send him to a proper place. Anyway, Lemaisa, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, is quoted, it's in Reverend Mullen's books and the other modern books, as saying that he thinks that the minhag is to be makbid in the new city of Yerushalayim also. And generally, the minhag of those who are very, very strict about the minhagei Yerushalayim try to be machbir, even though it's not me'ikra din, in the new city as well. I know many people who live in the new parts of Yerushalayim, and they were machbir to do the funeral right away, even if that means
you know, at 11:30 at night, et cetera, right? I've been to funerals in Yerushalayim at 11:30 p.m. or Benny, for example, right? That was 11:30 p.m. on a Motzei Shabbos because they didn't want to wait till Sunday morning. I don't think they would have done that in Alun Shvat. That's not Yerushalayim. They wouldn't have said come out at 11:30. I don't know. I should ask the Chavad Kedisha. I think they would have said Sunday morning's okay. But in Yerushalayim, many people, it's not a Chova Gemura, but there's a very strong minhag in Yerushalayim to try to not be Malan Meis in the new city either and do the funeral right away. This ties into the whole question of Eretz Yisrael in general. There's a famous Ramban. What does the Ramban say on Chumash in the Pasuk of Alanos HaMeis? The Ramban says, what did the Pasuk say? Solon and Vlaso Allah Eitz, ki kabortik berenu bayomahu, ki kel lasu lukem tolwe. Very hard. But now, the low setame es ad moscha, sher shem lekechon osim lefanach. So something about metame, the adama that Hashem gave you for a nachla, something about Eretz Yisrael. What's fascinating is that, and I don't have a proper hesber for this. I have to somehow be my ayin more. In the mainstream poskim and the mainstream of fortune, even the pasuk talks about Eretz Yisrael. Obviously means Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. The mainstream poskim say nothing about Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, just in Israel on a Sabbath. However, the Ramban says, we see from here that this Zveidinim, Lo Solon of Vlasu Al Ha'etz, is one lav, and the Lo Stame says Moscha is the second lav. Says the Ramban, there's Zveidinim and Alon HaSameis. There's a din of Kavod HaMeis that you're not allowed to be Malin in any country. And there's a din of Eretz Yisrael. You're now the Mishahet Tumah in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because it's Aviyah V'Satumah. So therefore, what does he say? If you're Malin your mace in Spain, you do violate one laugh and an asay. If you're Malin your mace in Eretz Yisrael, you violate two laugh and an asay. Also, Lostami says Moscow. So that Ramban is what all the modern day posts can quote. Here the Ramban says there's Sveidinim. There's an Israel Alonis HaMeis. There's an extra din of Alonis HaMeis in Eretz Yisrael. And then the question becomes, what's the nature of that extra din of Alonis HaMeis in Eretz Yisrael? Is it just the same Isser but double lav? Or is it a different lomdus with nafkaminas? Right? Sveidinim usually means, we think of it as nafkaminas. Not just, oh, it's the exact same thing, but it's a double lav here and a single lav here. Sometimes you have that. No. This is an Isser of Bizoy HaMeis, and this is an Isser of Metame Eretz Yisrael. They should have nafkaminas. What should the nafkaminas be? Interestingly, the Ramban, I don't think the Ramban himself gives these nafkaminas on Chumash. I didn't bring the Ramban. With me, but the Achronim point out that there could be three nafkaminas, right? Alpi the Ramban. There could be three nafkaminas between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. One nafkamina could be the discussion that was here in the Pisli Chuba Aleph is very long. You quote to Magen Avraham. Is there an Isser of Halonis HaMeis by a Nefel? Right? Stillborn baby. Was not considered a person halachically. But is considered a mace aviyavo satoma. Interestingly, like a nefel, halachically is not a person for Evan Ezer, for Hoshin Mishpat, for Orachayim, for etc. But aviyavo satoma. So what about a nefel? The Magen Avraham says the Israel alone is a mace for a nefel. However, all the Achronim disagree with him. No, everyone disagreed with him. We paskin there's no Israel alone is a mace for a nefel. However, based on Rambam, what do you want to say? That you could say in Chutz La'aretz it's mutter, but near Tzrol's Usher, still the time of the Nefel, the time of the arts as much as Ruchaim Kanievsky, right? Still a Vyavos HaTumah. Another nafkamina that the Achronim give is how about a Meis Akum? In Chutz La'aretz it's mutter be Malin a Meis Akum, because that mitzvah was only given for Jews. But there it's Yisrael, a Meis Akum is just as much a Vivos HaTumah as a Meis Yisrael. Maybe it is a Rindam Tam Ba'ohel, but it's certainly a Vivos HaTumah. So maybe that would be an Afghani. The third Afghani who's been very covered was how about Halana L'Chvodo? What about waiting for the relatives to come? So in Chutz Lartz, that would be mutter, because Avraham, it's more kavod ames to have a nicer funeral, or for everyone to show up to the funeral, you know. But in Eretz Yisrael, that would be usher, because still being the Tamei De'aretz. That's what a number of Achronim say for the Ramban. Halacha L'maisa says the Gesher HaChayim. He's Kovei HaMinig Eretz Yisrael, right? Says the Gesher HaChayim. He says, you know what? For a Nefel, we should try to be Machmir. Okay, we should try to be Machmir. For an Akum, we should try to be Machmir. Not that it's only up to us, because the Akums are usually buried by the Akum religious, whoever they're, whatever the equivalent of a Chavar Kedisha is. So no one's usually asking our opinion, right? If a Muslim dies, the Muslims decide how to do their, you know, their customs. They're not asking our opinion. But theoretically, we should be Machmir and Eretz Yisrael. What about Lechvodo? Here, says the Gesher HaChayim, we don't find Minig Eretz Yisrael to be Machmir about that. And this is very controversial. What comes out from what I've seen is that in Eretz Yisrael, we're not knowing, even though you'd think we would base this Ramban. But you know what it could be? It could be that to be Machmir on the Ramban, the Gesher HaChayim should be Machmir on a Nefel and Akum. You know what? There's no downside. You know, like, it's a nice thing to do anyway, right? However, to, like, bury without the relatives, you know, or to bury without a proper, without such a mechubed, you know, yeah, I could bury 11:30 at night, but it won't be a mechubed funeral. There'll be thousands of people if I wait till 10 o'clock Sunday morning. So that's a sacrifice covered a mace, and it's just a Ramban al Torah. I should say just a Ramban al Torah, but it's not something which is found in the classic halachic books. It's all is, what do you do with the Ramban al Torah in Nimsak? Right? Like, it's the Ramban. I'm not saying it's like someone's cute ideas on the Torah. You know, it's not like something to say at the Shabbos table on the Torah. But on the other hand, it's not part of the halachic Masorah, perhaps. Or is it? I think the Gesher HaChayim, that's what he said, if I recall correctly. Anyway, the Lemaisa, the Minig Eretz Yisrael, is that we are Mekel, but we try to be a little more Machmir than in Chutz Laretz. And basically, in Eretz Yisrael, we wait for the relatives and we wait for a normal funeral. But we don't wait for, like, the biggest funeral, and we don't necessarily wait for the relatives all the time. Like, basically, the minhag is a little, is lemaisa mutter aval yesh inyan lahachmir. Lemaisa, it's an unclear. In the old city, it's very clear. In Yerushalayim, those people who stick to them and hug in Yerushalayim very loyally are very clear. Like Rabbeni's example. Rabbeni is someone very, very chashev, Rav Tzadik, who used to teach night zeros to Ashraga, and I guess Michael and I were at his Levaya. And he was buried at Mamish close to midnight on Matzei Shabbos because he passed away on Shabbos. So go start everything, etc. By the time you're ready to bury, it's already close to midnight, but you can't wait till the next day. Yerushalayim. He didn't live in the old city. He lived by the cousins. How what?
For a while.
No, but at the time, I think where they sat Shiva was his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in East Jerusalem. But not in the old city, by the cousins. Again, he was a very, very holy person. I don't think everyone in Yerushalayim does that. Basically, the minhag is a little unclear. In Yerushalayim, they really, really try to never wait till the next day, no matter what, but there's some flexibility. And the rest of Eretz Yisrael, they don't always do it that day, but they try to really do it. You know, it's very rare to wait more. Like, it's very rare to bury 2 days after the Ketubah Eretz Yisrael. I'm not talking about 2 day Yom Tov or something. Or like Friday afternoon, obviously Friday afternoon. So they might wait till Sunday if it's, you know, if he dies before Lech Benching on Fridays, they wait till Sunday and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But in general, they're not going to wait as long as America, but, you know, there's some, you know, you have to, there are different minhagim, and there's really flexibility for people to do different ways, do different local minhagim. There's not a clear answer. I know when Rav Lichtenstein passed away, they waited for the next day for his son to come to the Levaya. But I know, for example, when Rav Shach's wife passed away, he did not wait for his son, who was teaching in America, to come to the Levaya and bury her right away. And neither of them were in Yerushalayim, obviously. So let me see different menhagim.
If we're mentioning like the perushim on the Torah, so doesn't Rashi say that like Kohanim and Levites also do Kibbutz Shemayim? Like about like those Dinyon Hashem and
yes, but he might have specifically been talking about like hanging on a gallows because like it was a mashal to the shnei achim, etc. So it's not so clear. Like maybe he's talking. That's another issue. Again, there's a lot of minyanim here. Is the Isser, no one thinks the Isser is only on Harugei Beis, but many Achronim and maybe Rishonim think that like it's Svedina. There's one Isser for everyone, another one for Harugei Beis, then maybe Rashi and Harugei Beis, then. So it's not so clear. The it's the Shita of the Radvaz, if I'm not mistaken, and we'll have to stop soon. That the Lav is for everyone and the Assay is only for Harugei Beis. That's a different Svedina. Then Rashi would fit better there. Yes, Fibel.
I'm just pointing out, it's interesting, in there about himself, he says that's the reason he talked about Akram, he says that's the reason why Yeshua took down all the Mahdi Kanan and buried him on that day.
Because it was Eretz Yisrael. So he himself gives an Akram of Akram. Okay, the Ramban himself gives an Akram of Akram. I don't think he brings that Nate fellow in the photo. Right, yeah. But the Ramban himself says, that's why Yeshua buried the Mahdi Kanan that day. Okay, it's interesting. Everyone asks, what about the descendants of Shaul killed by the Gibbonim? Why did they bury them that day? And so they say, okay, because that was the Gevonim, it wasn't the Jews. So they didn't keep the halacha. Okay, why did we left? Okay, so really not for a discussion. Right, this is in the Ramban itself. This is in the Ramban. He said, in Chutz Laaretz, we wouldn't have to bury every guy that day. We could wait till the next day to bury a guy. Meaning, we bury a guy for Darkei Shalom. Well, we could wait till the next day. However, in Eretz Yisrael, that's the example of Tzvei Dina. Thank you. Good point. Okay, let's just do one or two details, and then I think we might have to call it a day. There's a lot of details about this Halanas Hameis. One discussion is, fasting discussion is, when is Halanas Hameis? Part of the night or all of the night? Meaning, is it usher to wait past Shkia or usher to wait past Alos? Most Halana in Shas is past Alos, right? So I think the majority opinion, it's a little hard to tell exactly what the majority opinion is. I think the majority opinion is that it is Alos. The Yad Avraham quotes a lot of these, a lot of these deos. And the Pesach Yitzchuv in the beginning of Aleph says, quote the Radvaz, the Isser is only at Alos. You can wait all night till Alos. The Isser is only at Alos. The Yad Avraham quotes also in the Chavos Yair, and he himself agrees to that. However, there are those who say no, even Mitzas Halayla, even past Shkia is Asser. The Yad Avraham quotes that from the Ginas Radim and the Binas Adam, the Sefer Chaim. I'm not sure the Sefer Chaim is. Shagas Ari makes up Shara. The Shagas Ari says, you violate an assay if you wait till Shkia, but you only violate a lav if you wait till Alos, because that's Los Alinim, Los Alais, Al Ha'ets, Lemais, this big machlokas again, is the Isser at Alos, Rabaz and others, is the Isser at Shkia, even waiting part of the night, Dinas Radim and others, or if they're Tzvei Dinim, assay at Shkia and a lav at Alos, like the Shagas Ari, who's not quoted by anyone in the small print on the page or the big print on the page. Halacha l'maaseh, so we try to be machmir to do it as soon as possible, unless it's for kvodei meis. But nowadays, usually it is kvodei meis. I don't know that people really get into shkia and alos so much. They do it as soon as possible when they can be mechaber the meis, as you know, properly. Nefel we discussed. There's Pesach Yitzchuv, we've done a lot of other days. We're not going to get into all the other days. Days of like if some of the money can stop the burial. Nowadays, we don't have that minhag anymore. Pesach Yitzchuv and Beis of the strange minhagim that they would wait and bury them right before Shabbos. They wouldn't have Chibud HaKever. They wouldn't have the pain of burial because on Shabbos it doesn't happen. They bury them right before Shabbos. That's stupid for many reasons. One of which he says is you can't actually fool God that way. They would bury him right before Shabbos because then the mace suffers when he first goes into the Kever. But on Shabbos, they're putter from suffering. Okay, he says that's a little too clever. The two other important points, and maybe then we will call it a day,
is, number one, just an interesting historical tip at the end of Sukkot and Aleph. In the days of the Chasam Sofer and Rav Yaakov Emden, it was really in the days of Rav Yaakov Emden, a little before the Chasam Sofer, I guess we also cleaned that discussion. There was this, it's just an interesting historical tidbit. The German government decreed that you have to leave everyone for 3 days before you bury them. Because there was a problem, they sometimes buried people who were alive because they just looked dead. And nowadays, that's much less likely because we have like better diagnostic procedures. Even nowadays, there are very rare cases where someone can look alive, look dead, even though they're alive. But it probably wouldn't. There are cases even nowadays that they're taking someone out to burial and they actually turn out to be alive. And in their case, they buried someone and they were alive, but we wouldn't know. They said in those days they used to bury in caves. So you hear the guy knocking on the cave and you say, oh, sorry, we buried you by mistake, you're alive. Nowadays, if we bury someone alive, like that's it. So therefore the German government said you have to wait 3 days before burial. And Moses Mendelssohn was a big proponent of, you know, enlightenment, like ways, etc. He went around to all the poskim to try to convince them. But he was a firm guy. All the poskim to try to convince them that there was a good idea because nefesh is docha halonis hames. Says, oh, what about the Torah? In the Torah, they buried in caves, so they could bury right away and still check the caves if anyone's knocking from the inside. Now they can bury underground because of Bikoch Nefesh, we have to wait 3 days before burial. And all the poskim, machalamei ukli, they all said, nope, that's against the Mesorah of Judaism. Basically, you can't have like new chumers of Bikoch Nefesh are against the Mesorah of Judaism, and you get this ties to many fascinating issues nowadays. But he says, our Masorah is that you bury them that day and we don't worry they're alive. Oh, it's a documented case, and it's even one in a medrash someplace or in Shalmi, wherever it was. He says, that's one in a million. One in a million is not Pikoch Nefesh. Pikoch Nefesh is like a normal occurrence, not a one in a million. So it's a lot of fascinating issues in that historical issue. Lamaisa, obviously, our minhag was to bury right away. I mean, unless the government wouldn't let us, then we have no choice. And nowadays, basically, the chances. It's a chance of everything because doctors make mistakes. But like the chances of, like if you do all the medical things right, you're not going to bury someone alive. Of course, mistakes can happen, but those are less than one in a million and we don't consider that to be. Okay, the last thing I want to mention, this will be the last thing, I promise, I'm telling the truth this time, more or less. The Pisli Chuv, we've gotten Gimel, says, what if someone's unidentified? Pisli Chuv Gimel. This happens, unfortunately, this happens a lot. You think it doesn't happen nowadays, it happens all the time. You don't know who someone is. You think this and that, even nowadays, you don't necessarily know who someone is. It all depends. We're not going to get through some, you know, sometimes it depends how long they were dead before you found them. Sometimes even you find someone in the wilderness someplace, how do you know who he is? Even if you have his, like, you do a DNA, like, we don't have a database of everyone's DNA in the world, only like convicted felons. But hopefully they're not a convicted felon. And even that's only in America. So says the Pesach Chuvas, we've gotten Gimel, Tzarchin, Im Tzahar, Lo Noda Mihu. Ulfi Omdana Nirashu Baal. An Omdana, we think we know who he is. Can we wait for his wife to come from far away and identify him or not? Is that L'chvodo or not? So L'maisa, he said he's not sure, etc. But he's basically no to L'hakel. L'maisa, we assume that it's mutter, it's considered covenant mace to identify him. You can leave him to identify him. Why? He says, because then his family can be Mizabal and say Kaddish. That's covenant mace. If you don't know who he is, they can't be Mizabal and say Kaddish. Lemaisa, even if it's not Mizabal and say Kaddish, the poskim nowadays say if his wife would be in Aguna, they also find kulas to wait to identify him. That could be halach lemaisa. Where are we? Shinun Zayin. Let's just finish up the Simon call a mesim mar lahotzi mitasa rei zeh megun meshubach. All mesim, if you do a quick funeral, that's better. Val alav v'ima rei zeh meguna. But for parents, it's despicable. Why the? It's actually there's more than one opinion. But the Shach quotes the opinion of Rashi, because by parents, you're not masked so much, so you shouldn't let them sit without a spade. That's disrespectful. By parents, you should be maspid more and more because of kibud of aim, and therefore you should lengthen it. Lamaisa, I haven't really seen this practice nowadays. Usually it's not the relative sides how quick to make the funeral, but there is an Indian here that if someone's parents' funeral, they should be marbe hespedim a little. And if it's there are no kids who are trying to keep it up. They don't think Marcus beat him so much. Elam Kenig, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Shabbos, Alpha, Abbas, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, where it's raining, they're going to get wet, then, and you know, you don't have a building inside, whatever, then you should hurry. That's definitely, again, nowadays, the rain, like, there's always like a funeral parlor where you can go and not get rained on. But Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, definitely, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif will always make funerals as quick as possible because people, even they don't need to get home for Shabbos, Erev Yontif, because you know, in Shalim, they also do funerals 3 hours before Shabbos. And you get home for Shabbos. I've been to funerals 3 hours before Shabbos. And like you get home just in time for Shabbos. I mamish was like one family. It was a little awkward. I was like, she rehearsed it by Shabbos. And that Friday afternoon was like the great, you know, the grandfather's funeral. And the family mamish walked in the door at Kentley. That's Minig Yerushalayim. They were loyal to Minig Yerushalayim. They said, okay, we can bury and get home 40 minutes before Shkia, free candle lighting. They mamash walked in the door 40 minutes before Shkia. I mean, except for the son of the Niftar, who, since he did real Minig Yerushalayim, didn't go to the burial. Because real Minig Yerushalayim is that. Descendants don't attend the burial. Alpisod. Minig Yerushalayim, Alpisod, is that any descendant of the Niftar, of a male Niftar, does not attend the burial. The minhag of the Minig Yerushalayim as practiced by the American Cemetery in Beit Shemesh is to announce that no descendants are allowed to follow the mace to the burial, and then tell them, quick, go before the mace to the burial, so you've kept Minig Yerushalayim because you haven't followed him to the burial. That wasn't the original intention, but that's okay. That's the finessing to have your cake and eat it too. That's why if you're ever at a funeral in America, in Eretz Chaim, Beit Shemesh, they all announce, Kol yotze chalotzav lo yetzo achar mitoso. Any descendants cannot follow the mace to the cemetery. They tell, quick, go before the mace to the cemetery. So that way you've kept Minig Yerushalayim. But the real Yerushalayim next keep Minig Yerushalayim the original way. And the descendants just don't go. Only the other relatives go to the burial. Like they go to the spade, just not to the burial. Rav Lichtenstein was against that Minig Yerushalayim. Even though he lived in Yerushalayim, he encouraged not keeping that Minig Yerushalayim. But, okay, he wasn't a real Yerushalayim like that. We'll have to pick up with Shin Samach Aleph and whatever else on our assignment, Amir Tzashem, next time. The next year will be, again, I apologize for the jumbled week, will be Monday and Tuesday next week. So let's try to pull ahead as much as we can till Monday and Tuesday next week. Their Masora is Al Pimin Hagi Yushalayim. They always say, when they, the last thing they say to the mace, I think, when they put him in the ground is, we buried you in accordance with Minhagei Yerushalayim. Yeah, they have all kinds of strange things there. You never saw the dance? It's only for men and only on days when you say Tachton. You have to see it. They are very strange Minhagei Yerushalayim burials. It's all episode. And I don't even know if I want to start discussing exactly why. But if you're clever, you'll figure it out. I mean, if you're clever, you can figure out why they announced what? No, but I'm not a Yerushalmi. That 10 men who totaled in a mikvah that morning, they hold on to each other's gartels and they make a circle around the mace right before they put them in, and they go around 7 times, and each time they say, they say Yosh B'Seser, and they say part of Anav Kovach, and then they say, then in a different direction, and they go around 7 times, and that's Mabriach, all the same kind of ruchos, which are the reason why we announce Kol Yotze Chalotzav Lo Yetzer Achra, the Beis HaKvaros. That's the minhag. Next time we go to Eretz Chaim, and it's a man, and it's a day we say Tachlan, pay attention, and you'll see the minhag Yerushalayim, and it's very, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating minhag Yerushalayim. Again, to the best of my knowledge, Rav Lichtenstein was not into all these Minhagei Yerushalayim. He happened to live in Yerushalayim for quite a while. But he was not, again, in the new city of Yerushalayim, not everyone's so into Minhagei Yerushalayim. He specifically didn't like the minhag that the kids aren't allowed to go to the cemetery, because really, Alpi, he was more of a halachic kind of person. Alpi halacha, davka, the chiyuv of tours on the kids. So how could they not go to the Kfura if after the mitzvah of Kfura is on them primarily? So this is one of the cases where the Minhagi Yishlayim al-Pisod do not dovetail necessarily with the strict halacha. We're looking like the strict halacha, but the real Yerushalmiyim. Yeah, but here it's a subtle machlokas. So meaning, against. It's not usher for a son to send someone else to bury his father. Not isser. You know, it's just not the pshat mashmos of halacha. Okay, so therefore, but I know we're listening to, did not like that particular minhag Yerushalayim. He did not, I don't think he kept that minhag when his father passed away. And I think he told his kid not to keep that minhag when he passed away. I think so. I'm trying to remember. I was there, but I don't want to make things up, but I think so. Okay. Was anyone else there? No?
Okay.
No, I mean in the room.
No.
No, okay. So anyway, but that's what I think. Okay. So I will see you, Mir Tashem, Monday.
Thank you.